figure wearing an expression carefully trained to be inscrutable. Since the world was sure to misunderstand everything, mere defensive instinct prompted him to give it as little as possible to lay hold upon. Nothing is more impenetrable than the face of a boy who has learned this, and Penrod's was habitually as fathomless as the depth of his hatred this morning for the literary activities of Mrs. Laura Rewbush, an almost universally respected fellow citizen, a lady of charitable and poetic inclinations, and one of his mother's most intimate friends. Mrs. Laura Rewbush had written something which she called the Children's Pageant of the Table Round, and it was to be performed in public that very afternoon at the Women's Arts and Guild Hall for the benefit of the Colored Infants Betterment Society. And if any flavor of sweetness remained in the nature of Penrod Schofield after the dismal trials of the school week just past, that problematic infinitesimal remnant was made pungent acid by the imminence of his destiny to form a prominent feature of the spectacle and to declaim the loathsome sentiments of a character named upon the program, the child Sir Lancelot. After each rehearsal, he had plotted escape, and only 10 days earlier there had been a glimmer of light. Mrs. Laura Rewbush had caught a very bad cold, and it was hoped it might develop into pneumonia. But she recovered so quickly that not even a rehearsal of the children's pageant was postponed. Darkness closed in. Penrod had rather vaguely debated plans for a self-mutilation such as would make his appearance as the child Sir Lancelot inexpedient on public grounds. It was a heroic and attractive thought, but the results of some extremely sketchy preliminary experiments caused him to abandon it. There was no escape, and at last his hour was hard upon him. Therefore he brooded on the fence and gazed with envy at his wistful duke. The dog's name was undescriptive of his person, which was obviously the result of a singular series of mesalliances. He wore a grizzled mustache and indefinite whiskers. He was small and shabby, and looked like an old postman. Penrod envied Duke because he was sure Duke would never be compelled to be a child Sir Lancelot. He thought a dog free and unshackled to come and go as the wind listeth. Penrod forgot the life he led Duke. There was a long soliloquy upon the fence, a plaintive monologue without words. The boy's thoughts were adjectives, but they were expressed by a running film of pictures in his mind's eye, morbidly prophetic of the hideosities before him. Finally, he spoke aloud, with such spleen that Duke rose from his haunches and lifted one ear in keen anxiety. "I hight Sir Lancelot du Lac, the child, gentle-hearted, meek, and mild. What though I'm but a little child, gentle-hearted, meek, and oof." All this, except the oof, was a quotation from the child Sir Lancelot, as conceived by Mrs. Laura Rewbush. Choking upon it, Penrod slid down from the fence, and with slow and thoughtful steps entered a one-storied wing of the stable, consisting of a single apartment, floored with cement, and used as a storeroom for broken bric-a-brac, old paint buckets, decayed garden hose, worn-out carpets, dead furniture, and other condemned odds and ends not yet considered hopeless enough to be given away. In one corner stood a large box, a part of the building itself. It was 8 feet high and open at the top, and it had been constructed as a sawdust magazine from which was drawn material for the horse's bed in a stall on the other side of the partition. The big box, so high and tower-like, so commodious, so suggestive, had ceased to fulfill its legitimate function, though, providentially, it had been at least half full of sawdust when the horse died. 2 years had gone by since that passing, an interregnum in transportation during which Penrod's father was thinking, he explained sometimes, of an automobile. Meanwhile, the gifted and generous sawdust box had served brilliantly in War and Peace. It was Penrod's stronghold. There was a partially defaced sign upon the front wall of the box. The donjon keep had known mercantile impulses. The O.K. Rabbit Company, Penrod Schofield and Company, inquire for prices. This was a venture of the preceding vacation, and had netted at one time an accrued and owed profit of $1.38. Prospects had been brightest on the very eve of cataclysm. The storeroom was locked and guarded, but 27 rabbits and Belgian hares, old and young, had perished here on a single night, through no human agency, but in a foray of cats, the besiegers treacherously tunneling up through the sawdust from the small aperture which opened into